From the Cyber Hub bunker and studio, you're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. We're live on YouTube, Rumble, X, LinkedIn, Twitch, and everywhere else you get your videos. We do air these after the fact on Facebook and our Cyber Hub podcast LinkedIn page. So if you didn't catch the live version, you're watching the later version, thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. We've got a very constructive show today, kind of looking at the last 3 months of this year. The first, we're wrapping up March. First quarter is literally over on Sunday. And so there's a lot around cyber that I like to look at when we get to these milestones. And I get these are man-made milestones, but they matter. And they especially matter on the business sense, because we wrap up this quarter. And then the next few weeks are going to all be about pulling in kind of the first quarter results, getting ready for your board reporting duties, for your executive meetings, kind of looking at where you're at to your plan and so forth. And so as the landscape shifts, so do our priorities, but so does everything else here. So stay tuned for that on this morning's program. Go check out our Substack for exclusive content that's only available there, jamesazar.substack.com. And now join me for my double espresso this morning. It'll power us through the show. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. Two sips, everyone knows the rule. All right, let's talk about this first report coming here by Flashpoint, which is kind of saying that 2024 is going to be it's going to be much more dangerous. It's going to be a worse year than 2023 was in terms of cybersecurity. Now, they're basing it on just the first 2 months' data, right? So by Flashpoint's numbers, there were around 6,077 recorded data breaches last year, with attackers accessing around 17 billion personal records. That's a 34.5% increase from 2022. 8 billion people on Earth, they've got 17 billion personnel records. That just lets you know how many times they have records over and over and over again. In the first 2 months, this increased by 429% over the first 2 months of 2023, meaning the U.S. suffered 3,800 breaches in all of 2023. That's a 20% increase over 2022. In the first 2 months of this year alone, there's a 30% increase over last year. Ransomware attack increased by 84% in 2023. There's a 23% increase in the first 2 months of this year than last year. And despite the large numbers here, we're looking at the MOVEit attack, LockBit. So a lot of this is massive types of attacks. Last year's MOVEit and LockBit's ransomware really impacted a whole bunch of people significantly. I think the MOVEit had like 2,000 victims. So could that have played with the numbers? Who knows? But there's a whole bunch around this data. And what they're essentially saying is, be prepared. We're seeing a whole lot more stuff coming out, especially around vulnerabilities. And that's going to be really the key takeaway from today's show. In multiple stories that we're going to go over today, you're going to see that really it boils down to the basics of vulnerability management and patch management, and then mitigation and visibility. And that's what it really boils down to, those four. So we're going to get into that here in just a moment. A great report by Flashpoint, really worthwhile reading when you get a chance. And all of that's available in the show notes and on our Substack page as well. Municipalities in Texas and Georgia woke up this morning to ransomware attacks. Gilmer County in Georgia, with 30,000 residents, issued a notice on Tuesday night on their website warning that a ransomware attack has affected its ability to provide services. They're actively monitoring the situation and sending updated information as it becomes available. They've obviously not responding to comments there. Georgia has fallen victim to many ransomware attacks, including my home county of Fulton County. Fort Worth, on their end, the suburb of Dallas, find themselves waking up to yet another cyber attack. Tarrant County in Texas, home to Fort Worth, also announced it's dealing with its own incidents affecting the office that determines property values for tax purposes. The Tarrant Appraisal District is used widely by both property owner and real estate agents. It has a population of 2.1 million people, so this one is significant. In a statement, they said some of their systems and data has been rendered temporarily inaccessible as they deal with this. They're working diligently to get it restored. The PR statements are all the same, by the way. If you compare them, they're word off here or there, but they're all the same at this point. There's that. CISA published their 447-page draft of the cyber incident reporting rule. Now, I will say this. I haven't read the whole draft yet. I've read summaries of it. I've allocated time today. Try to get through 447 pages worth of it. This follows the incident, critical infrastructure cyber incident. It's called CIRCEA. Yeah, CIRCEA is the law that was passed in 2022. It mandated that DHS and CISA work on some sort of incident reporting for critical infrastructure to the Federal Register. So, the rule has now been published. This would mandate that certain critical infrastructure organizations report cyber incidents within 72 hours, ransomware payments within 24 hours. The incidents covered by the law include ones that lead to substantial harm or pose a significant threat to the organization's ability to function or to national security, public health, or safety. The reports will be exempt from public disclosure laws and confidentiality is ensured, according to CISA. The agency designates 16 critical infrastructure sectors, including manufacturing, energy, financial services, healthcare, transportation, and water utilities. They say the cost of enforcing the rule would be $2.6 billion over the next 11 years, or about $230 million each year, with $1.4 billion in cost to industry and $1.2 billion in cost to the federal government. The agency also says there'll be more than 316,000 entities that are going to be affected by this, and they'll estimate that they'll collect a total of 210,525 reports in the next decade. CISA seeing more funding, including $116 million for 2025 to fully staff the incident reporting office. And here's an idea. If you're going to pass this, why not take the data breach notification federal bill and just roll it right in and have CISA lead all incident reporting in the country? That's literally in their job description. Why are we reporting to 50 attorney generals in each respective state and territory? So that's like 55, 56 when you count the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico and so forth, and Guam and all the other territories. You've got to report to all of them. They all have different reporting rules with different impacts that increases the cost of reporting the breach. So what we're adding is we're adding more costs for companies to do business. And then we wonder why everything is so darn expensive and why things are really going up with prices. It's not only inflation, regulation adds to the cost of doing business. And the person who ends up paying for that is the people who consume the services. So how about government thinks of a creative way to consolidate? Consolidation here would work, especially with this law. I pray that someone in Congress and Senate opens their darn eyes and goes, let's put this all together. Let's add an amendment to this law and have everything go through CISA. Stand up CISA, get rid of TSA overseeing cyber, get rid of EPA overseeing cyber, DOE overseeing cyber. Let CISA run it, have them contribute through working groups and committees that would help address specific concerns coming from those agencies, but let CISA oversee it. And yet that's still not a thing going on. They love to spend money. So there's that. Google on Tuesday released a Chrome browser security update to address 7 different vulnerabilities, including 4 reported by external researchers. The issue tracked the CVE 2024-28883, and Google notes it in its advisory that a researcher discovered the bug and received a $10,000 bug bounty reward for it. According to all advisories, the 3 other defects reported by external researchers are all high severity vulnerabilities. This one is a 0-day, and it's a use after free bug in Angle, the open source cross-platform graphics engine used in Chrome. Chrome has the update. Make sure you get your browsers updated there. No need to spend more time on that. The INC ransom extortion group gang is threatening to publish 3 terabytes worth of data stolen from the National Health Service of Scotland. In a post yesterday, the cyber criminals shared multiple images containing medical details and said that they would leak the data soon unless they paid the ransom. Scotland NHS is the country's public health system, providing services ranging from primary care, hospital care, dental, pharmaceutical, and long-term care to the citizens of Scotland. Reports about the cybersecurity incident disrupting NHS Scotland's services appeared on March 15th, likely when the attack occurred. And now we're obviously seeing the effects of this ransomware attack and the data dumped there by NHS. And again, this is significant because the data being dumped could potentially be used to defraud NHS in the future. It could be used to potentially extort people who have specific illnesses or diseases that may not be reporting. So this does have significant impact downstream. Google and their subsidiary Mandiant said they've observed a significant increase in the number of zero-day vulnerabilities exploited in 2023. However, 50% of them are being linked to spyware vendors. Now, this to me was shocking as I was reading this story this morning, and I'll tell you why for a few reasons. One, last year there were 97 zero days that were being exploited in attacks. That represented around a 50% increase from the previous year where 62 total vulnerabilities were being had. And then they go, 50% of these were being done by spyware vendors. That's job is to sell these zero days to governments in order to grant them access to devices. That's a different discussion for a different day. We're not going to get into the morality of that discussion on the show. I understand it's controversial. People have all kinds of ideas about it. I get it. Respect it. This isn't what I'm getting to. What I'm getting to is if 50% of these zero-day vulnerabilities are coming from spyware vendors, the other 50% are coming from cyber criminals, most likely nation states, meaning that the cyber crime world is really taking advantage of the basics. They're not really operating on the zero-day perspective. They're operating on what are you not patching that I can get in, and then from there move through your environment in the as a service type of idea. Again, critical. If spyware vendors are really behind 50% of all zero-day exploits and the other 50 is attributed to nation states, then by all means, you've got to review the way you look at threats coming from vendors. And you've also got to look at it from threat actors. You've also got to look at it and go, very, very interesting is if that's the case, then focusing on the basics of vulnerability management, patch management, mitigation, and visibility can help me really reduce my threat surface and really get control of my security. That's significant there specifically. Now, in China news, because we can't go a day without speaking about them, Mustang Panda, one of their most persistent and first APT actor, is being linked to cyber espionage targeting nations affiliated with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, according to Palo Alto. Mustang Panda created two malicious packages day before the special summit that was held just this month. The first targeted entities in the Philippines, Japan, and Singapore. The second was aimed at Myanmar. The first package is a renamed copy of the Key Scramble executable, a legitimate anti-key logging program that would sideload a malicious DLL established persistence by creating an auto-run registry key. The code decrypts a payload believed to be a pub load malware. The second package, a screensaver executable, appears to have targeted the Myanmar military. When executed, it would attempt to fetch a benign executable and a malicious DLL from a remote server, once again using DLL sideloading to run the malware. According to Palo Alto, the targeting of ASEAN-affiliated entities is not surprising, considering their role in handling sensitive information about diplomatic relations and economic decision. China sees that as a direct threat. Those nations are obviously determined to not allow China to continue its excessive push there as well. And finally, the Change Healthcare breach has impacted the healthcare industry significantly. I mean, significantly. The Alpha 5 Black Cat ransomware group behind it, obviously now saying they've retired after this specific breach, obviously realizing its impact and potential payday, walked away. They didn't want to end up like Lockbit and many others. But now the Department of State is saying, we'll pay up to $10 million if you tell us information about their operators and affiliates. And so there's a $10 million bounty for any operators or affiliates of the Black Cat Alpha V ransomware group that's behind the Change Healthcare ransomware attack. That's significant, by the way, for a few reasons. one, we'll see if anyone comes through. Doubt it. I don't think a lot of information is going to come from this. But number two, just shows you how significant Change Healthcare breach really is to the healthcare industry. I think think of SolarWinds and move it together kind of in general to business. And that's what Change Healthcare was to the healthcare industry. It paralyzed it. And there's a lot of investigations ongoing from the FTC to the SEC to the DOJ and across HHS that are all investigating. Is there too much power with the big companies to where one thing like this could impact the entire industry and then the services to the people of the country? So there's that. That's it for our show this morning. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., Chris Fallone and I will be talking Zero Trust again, kind of going through the seven pillars. We talked about least privilege. Tomorrow, we'll talk about another one. Join us. That'll be live at 11 a.m. right here on your favorite podcast listening platforms and airing live on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitch, Twitter, X, and Rumble. That's it for all of y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. And if you don't tune in tomorrow, have a great weekend. Thanks so much and stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.